let's go into the wallets that grow in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive that there is clarity this evening as we go into the word. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Talk with me in 2 Timothy 3. We started a series on Sunday titled, what did we title it? We're not sure, right? What happens when hands are laid? What happens when hands are laid, or when hands are laid, or, you know, as the days unfold, maybe we would have definite topics to each teaching we are considering under this series. But the goal is about explaining the doctrinal aspect of the ministry of laying on of hands, right? So look at 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. It says, and that from a child that was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It now says all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, right? That is perfected, furnished unto all good works. So we see that primarily the scriptures were written by men, right? And we started explaining how men wrote the scriptures so that men will read the scriptures so that men can grow. Are we together? Men wrote the scriptures by the inspiration of God so that men will read the scriptures, so that when men read the scriptures, they can grow. That is why you see Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace that is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Now we grow in that knowledge by growing in scriptures, or growing in our understanding of scriptures. So we started explaining on Sunday that man is God's method, and man has always been and will always be God's method. Look at John 20 quickly. We looked at John 20, verse 22, where he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and he breathed on them. Look at John 20, verse 22. John 20, 22. John chapter 20, verse 22. John 20, 22. Are you there? Yeah, and when he had said this, what did he say? Then Jesus said unto them again in 21, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he said that, peace be unto you, Bible says he breathed on them, and he said unto them, receive ye the what? The Holy Ghost. Now on Sunday, we started looking at the word breathe. I started looking at the word breathe as a conversation through the lens of Ezekiel. Is that true? Is that true? Right? What did we see from Ezekiel 36 and 37? You know, he was talking about the valley of the dry bones, right? And the question was, will these bones come alive again? You know, and he says, you should what? Speak, right? When you speak, that is, you prophesy, and they will what? Receive. He says, I will breathe my life into them, and it shall come alive, or breathe into them, and it shall come alive, right? So we're able to establish that the concept of breathing in the Bible is not a concept of the biological way of bringing air. We breathe in carbon dioxide, right? How did I say that? Okay, let me try and say I was trying to test you, but I made a mistake, really. Yeah, so we breathe in oxygen, I'm sorry. I will breathe out carbon dioxide. So the concept of he breathed on them was not a concept to say that he breathed out carbon dioxide for them to receive, because if that's a concept, the best of what they will receive is CO2. Okay, for those of us who don't know CO2, CO2 is the chemical combination or chemical formula, right, for what? Carbon dioxide. Are we together? Right, so if that was what he breathed out, it means that is what they would have received. Praise God. So in the research, we're trying to establish that concept. Now, we also took it back to Genesis, because Ezekiel will have his fundamental writings from the writing of who? Moses, right? And you see Moses will say in Genesis 3, and God formed man and breathed into the what? The nostril of man. So you would have thought that God was supplying. So biologically speaking, what would you have thought God was supplying into man? It has to be oxygen. Right? So because you are breathing out carbon dioxide and you're receiving oxygen, so it means that what that biological example is going to show you is that God is giving and supplying oxygen to man so that it will go through man's body and now come out as what? CO2. But really, scriptures are to make you wise concerning God's redemptive plan. So we're trying to establish that, you know, what God will, or what Ezekiel will speak about God breathing into the dead bones, right, will be done how? By what? Speaking, which is the scriptural word for what? Prophesy. Are we together? He says, prophesy to these dry bones. So those dry bones will come alive. So the conversation was to speak about what will be done, or what will end living, or what will supply life to man, that will be done by words spoken. Are we together? That we saw in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you shall be what? And you shall receive power after that, what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And shall witness it upon me, witness it for me in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and to the what? The uttermost part of the earth. Now, they were going to receive power. Where were they going to receive power from? No. Where were they going to receive power from? Hold on. Luke 24 tells you, it says, tarry in Jerusalem. Is that true? Which is similar to what Luke as well writes in Acts 1. And it says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. So, the receiving of the Holy Ghost, is that the receiving of the power? Beautiful. Where will they receive the Holy Ghost from? Be careful. Not where will they receive the Holy Ghost. Where from? Okay, let me put the from first. From where? From who? Okay? No. They were going to receive the Holy Spirit, that is the Holy Ghost. I hope you know Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are the same. I hope you know. Yeah, before you say, I put on this pastor mixing everything, right? Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are just conversations of different dispensations regarding to things which are unseen, or that which is unseen. So spirit and ghost. Ah, see your ghost. Right. When you go towards the land of the dead, the graveyard, they say ghost is pursuing you. Yeah, that ghost is the spirit. So ghost, that is spirit. Are we together? That's in case they pursue people. But in the real sense, right? The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. So you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Is not a different doctrinal receiving from the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Bible tells in John 20:22, it says that he breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Can we say, receive ye the Holy Spirit? So where were they going to receive the Holy Spirit from? They will receive the Holy Spirit from the person that gives the instruction, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And who is that? Jesus. Okay, let's look at that in Acts 2. Quickly, go to Acts 2. Acts 2 is just the next book there, right? Acts 2. Are you in Acts 2? We started from Acts 2 on Sunday. And we said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in what? In one place. Acts 2:1. Are you there? They were all in one accord. With one accord, rather, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from where? From heaven. Heaven, the land of the dead? Or land of the invisible? The supernatural, yeah? The spiritual, the control room, God's throne. Hey, are you here? Right? So there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Remember I was saying on Sunday, if there were a church that were given to the use of AC, right? The wind will not pass through these windows if our windows were closed. Are we together? So he says what? Is that a figure of speech? And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them cloven tongues as what? Fire. Was there fire on their head? Was there tongue on their head? Be careful. Right? And it sat upon each of them and they were filled. So that description is metaphorical to explain they were filled. Right? They were filled with what? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Was that being filled with the Holy Spirit? Right? And they began to speak. Now, what was the promise in Acts 1:8? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, we started explaining the conversation of upon as a Moses' conversation. Right? The Spirit of God moved upon. I will remember on Sunday, we said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deeper waters, right? Right? The Spirit of God moved upon the face. And we said, when I do my hand like this, your hand should not go towards, you know, Spirit of God just looking for where to breathe, you know, around Pacific Ocean. Right? We said that it is a figurative expression to speak about what God's Spirit is doing with man, or what God's Spirit is achieving through men. Are we together? Or what God's Spirit will do in man, through man, by man, for man. Are we together? So he says the Spirit shall come upon. Now we now see in Acts chapter 2 verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. So they began to speak is the end goal of the heaven mentioned in verse 2, the wind mentioned in verse 2, and the fire mentioned in verse 3. You get what I just said? The narrative of sound from heaven, rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues of fire, is to explain being what? Filled with the Holy Ghost, that is, they began to speak. Now, we've done a teaching about this, to talk about the difference between the Spirit upon and the Spirit what? Inside or within. Right? The Spirit within is what you receive upon the resurrection, that is when you believe the gospel. The Spirit upon is what people will see as an action that exudes from you or comes out from you. Right? So when a believer speaks in tongues, we can say, oh, that's the Spirit upon in manifestation. Right? So, you know, there are some folks who teach that as there's a different spirit you are waiting for to come upon you. I hope you know that. That's why you meet believers or you meet people who have been believers for years and you ask them, why don't you speak in tongues? What are they waiting for? They are waiting for the Spirit to come upon. Are we together? Meanwhile, the Spirit coming upon is from that conversation of the lambano, which is to lay hold on the Spirit already within. Are we together? So, when you believe the gospel, you receive the Holy Ghost. Now, what you do is to lay hold on the abilities of the Holy Ghost, that is the power you've already received in believing the gospel. Are we together? So, you see that Luke will let you see the narration of sound from heaven, that is sound from the spiritual. So, it means that Luke is describing spiritual activities happening through men. You didn't get that? Spiritual activities happening through men. That's why it tells you they began to speak. So he filled all the house. What happened? So it means that what happened in heaven what normally will happen in heaven happened amongst them. Did you get that? What normally would happen in heaven, you will see it happen amongst men. Are we together? So can we say that is heaven on earth? Are we together? Heaven on earth. Are we together? So it means that when we say our Father which art in heaven, we are saying our Father which is in the supernatural, which is in the unseen realm. Are we together? Which is in heaven. Are we together? Which is in the spiritual. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is where? In heaven. Land of the dead. Where dead people go to? No. So it is God's will that there is a marriage between the heavens and the earth. Are we together? So you will see Moses will use different concepts to speak about the same union. So Moses will use heaven and earth to speak about the union between Christ and the church. That is God and the and a man on earth, right, in the temple. And Moses will also use Adam and Eve to speak about man and the church, and Christ and the church, or God and the church, within the same books. You see, where your mind shouldn't go to is to a point where you think, or your mind should go to a point where you begin to think that because he has explained a marriage between Christ and the church, he will not explain it again within the same chapters. Do you know what I just said? You know, there's a possibility because you want to explain something to somebody, you are trying as much as possible not to repeat what you've explained. But in the real sense, Moses is using different conversations, different concepts to explain the same thing. That's why you hear us say things like, the Bible starts up with a book of prophecy. Or as a book of prayer. So the Bible starts up with prophecy. So God created the heavens and earth is what God will do in the resurrection. Altogether. That's why you see the Bible in Isaiah 46. It says, I am the Lord thy God that declares the end of a matter from where? The beginning. Are we together? So he would explain, you know, seed after his kind as Christ and the church. Explain heaven and earth as Christ and the church. Explain image as Christ and the church. Image and male and female, Christ and the church. Still explain Adam and Eve as Christ and the church. You say, explain, be fruitful and multiply. You know, we've said over time, when Bible tells, when you see the instruction of be fruitful and multiply in Genesis, it's not an instruction for you and your wife. Think about it. If I ask this brother how many children he wants to have, he cannot say 10. I've never had a conversation with him. But I know how somebody can want to stone somebody from a distance. I remember this time last year. This time last year, it was a season. Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor, no, we are going to wait for a long time. You see, If the instruction to be fruitful and multiply is about Branonso and his wife, they cannot fill the earth. Are we together? So if they be fruitful and multiply is about man and woman, it means that there should be nothing called menopause. Oh, you get that right? You get that right? It means there should be nothing called. So it means that it should be. I'm not going there. Right? So it means that be fruitful and multiply is to what? Bring more people into the church. Or bring more people into his light. So he uses heaven and earth to speak about Christ and the church. Uses light on the earth to speak about Christ and the church. Uses a seed to bring forth after his own kind, Christ and the church. Image male and female, Christ and the church. Be fruitful, Christ and the church. Adam and Eve. So the same concept is what it is. So it means that be fruitful and multiply will be something that will be done in the resurrection. Are we together? So there will be a union between Christ and the church. That is God, listen to me everyone, God walking through us as the church to bring more people. Is that not being fruitful? Did you get that? God the male, are we together? Don't hear what I'm not saying. But hear what I'm saying for this explanation. God the male, the church the female, will come together and be fruitful. That is, heaven will walk through men, that is heaven on earth, which will mean that earth will go out by the power of the Holy Ghost, that is God in man, to preach the gospel so that what? More children are brought into the vineyard. That's being fruitful. That's multiplicity. That's be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Are we together? So when you see the heavens as a conversation in Acts 2, it is a Luke's narrative to speak about what the heavens and the earth will see or will seem like when there's a union. That is, they began to speak. So something will happen based on the union. And the goal of that thing that is happening is to bring more men into the kingdom, that is, be fruitful and what? Multiply. Are we together? So when we say thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, it means that we will see what he is or what he does in the heaven amidst what? Men. Are you in Acts 2? Are you in Acts 2? Right, look at verse 13. Or look at 17. And it shall come to pass, or look at verse 15. Look at verse 14 rather. Right? And Peter standing up with 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose. So, when Peter says, these are not drunken as you suppose, where should your mind go to? These are men who are fulfilling the will of God in heaven on earth. Did you get that? Did you get that? So, he says, these men are not drunken, right, as you suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day, that's about 9 a.m. or thereabout. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So Peter begins to explain what they saw from the writings of Joel. That's from Joel 2:28, right? And he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh, and your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and my servants and all of that. And I will show my wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. That's Joel 2:28 downwards. Now the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall what? Shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's read verse 22 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Listen carefully to what you're about to read. Let's read again together. 1, 2, 3, go. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. We started talking about something on Sunday. We said God's method is what? Men. Men are God's what? Method. Men are God's best option on the earth. Now, we're answering a question. They were to receive power, that is the Holy Ghost. We said the answer was from who? Who are they going to receive the Holy Ghost from? Jesus. Now, is this after the resurrection, Acts 2? So, did Luke show you in Acts 2 that after the resurrection, they were dealing with a man? So, when he says he breathed on them as a man, are you here? Bible tells you, ye men of Israel, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man approved. So they received the Holy Ghost from. So God will want to give man his Holy Ghost and he will come as a man to supply his Holy Ghost to man. Did you get that? I'll say that one more time. God will want to give man the Holy Ghost. God will want to live amidst man, and he will come as a man to make ready or to prepare the body of man to receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Please follow what I'm about to say, right? So, Jesus, let me wait for you to write that. Are you there? Are you there? Right? So we're in verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. 23 now says, him being devoured by the determining counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands ye have what? By him. Whom God hath what? Hold on. Is Jesus Christ God? Is Jesus Christ God? Who was raised up, God or Jesus? Let me ask you a question. Who was raised up, God as a spirit or Jesus as a man? Okay, you're not saying God in Jesus again, right? So it means that Jesus, God did not die. Are we here? But Jesus as a man died. Did you get that? Because that means to answer the questions in your mind. You're going to say like, okay, if God is Jesus and Jesus died, that means there was no God on this earth for 3 days. It helped you a little. That's right. Oh, you get it now. Right? So, remember we said something during what happened in 3 days. The concept of death, first in scriptures, as spiritual, must be considered as what? Separation. So, when you see God raise Jesus, whilst you see God raising God, it is God as spirit raising God as man. Did you get that? Don't miss that. So, who were they going to receive the Holy Ghost from? They were going to receive the Holy Ghost from God as man. So, God as a spirit will become God as man to supply the Holy Ghost to man. Right? So, he says that who God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. He says, for David speaks about this man. So, God did not rise from the dead, but Jesus as a man, or God as a man, rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he says, he now speaks about David in verse 25. Speaks from the book of Psalm 16. Look at 29. For our time, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a what? A prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. So, listen to me, everyone. Listen to me, everyone. Who rose from the dead? Finish the sentence well. Who rose from the dead? Jesus as a man. Who was going to sit on the throne? Jesus as a spirit, as a man. He wants to stay there. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. Is that as a man? That his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh suffer what? Corruption. Beautiful. This Jesus had God what? Raised up, whereof we are all. So after the resurrection, who did they see? God as a spirit or God as a man? Okay. So therefore, being by the right hand of who? Of what? By the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth these things which ye now what? See and what? Here. So Christ is going to be a man according to the flesh. Did you see that in verse 30? He says that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. Altogether. So a man will show forth what they saw. Right? It's from a man they will see what they saw. So they receive the spirit from a man, by a man, through a man. Because of a man. So God as a man will come. I've forgotten that song. God in man who died for man. And he rose as a man. So we give praise to God in man who died for man. Are we together? So God in the incarnation will be a man. God in the death will be a man. God in the resurrection will be a what? A man. So we will see God as a man supplies the spirit to man. Praise God. Praise God. Don't let your mind dazzle away from what we are talking about now. Remember, we're dealing with what happens when hands are laid. That's why you see the book of Psalms 8. It says, who is man that thou art what? Mindful of. Why do you think that was a question? It is because God's best belt is man. Are we here? God's best belt has, will always be man. So the question is, who is man that thou art mindful of? Right? Man is God's method on the earth. Man is God's method on the earth. So who is man that thou art mindful of? See Hebrews 1. Look at Hebrews 1 quickly. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Are you here? Or have you gone home? Hebrews 1:1. Are you here? Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the men. Men. Unto the who? Are you in Hebrews 1? Hebrews 1, right? So, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto by the. So, did God speak to men by men? Is that what he says? Fathers will be men now. Altogether. And prophets will be men. He now says, hath in this last day spoken unto us in his son. Man. Whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image. Now, we did a series on the image of God during the Salvation series, which we will take a step further in Salvation series season 2. Right? We're trying to explain the word image as a word used for physical representation for the what? Unseen. Selem. Right? The physical, it was a Jewish conversation in the land of the Egyptians. Right? The temple, the image, and all those conversations, the selah, which is the rib, their conversations of the Egyptians or their Egyptian knowledge. So remember, Moses will be born in Exodus 3, right? And he will be skilled, right? Moses was very skilled in the Egyptian knowledge. Is that not true? Right? So he will use his skillfulness in Egyptian knowledge to communicate God's truth, which is God's word. Are we together? So it will mean that when you see Jesus as the expression of each person, it means you see Jesus as the man form of God. Is that right? The physical representation of the supernatural God. Are we together? Being made so much better than the angels, yeah, as he had been by inheritance obtained a more excellent name that day. Is that as a man? 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 So it means that God will be very deliberate about mankind. You know the entire goal of Genesis 1. Let me say this. The entire goal of the entire scriptures has its fulcrum around how to deliver man. You know that? The entire purpose of scriptures has its fulcrum around how to deliver man. Or how to put man where man ought to be. Are you here? God's ultimate plan, God's plan from time has always been knitted around man. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, listen to what I'm about to say. So it means Okay, let me ask you as a question. Forget about it means. Just forget I said that. Okay, it means that Jesus is Lord. So I've completed that statement. Right, so let's go to another conversation. So will the earth in the real sense be destroyed? If we've said, you know, in our doctrine where we're growing up, we said that earth is for where you stay as a living being. The heaven is where you will now go to when you stop being a living being. We're now trying to explain to you that that heaven we are talking about is already here. This is what I'm saying. Where are we going to? But you don't worry, we'll answer it in days to come. If we said, all of you agree with me now, that heaven is not where dead people go to. You say it's control room now. She's nice now. You say heaven is control room. She's like, you say it's a supernatural place. Bracken, you say it's spiritual. Those are three different believers amongst us. So they've agreed that it's... So, I mean, we read Acts 2. Sound from heaven. I said, I asked you, is it land of dead or spiritual? You answered. So if we say that heaven is not where dead people go to, that means your knowledge from about when Christians die and they go to heaven should be tampered with. You should have a question. Where did they go to? Don't ask me. Go and look for someone you ask. Someone that has gone to heaven and come back. Are we... So it means we need to question that conversation. Because you will only go to a place and come back because you have always thought that that place is where people go to, but don't come back. How did I get here today, Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Get the point. God's plan for man is for man in the earth. Let me say it this way. The earth is the... Hold on. I know you can quote it. Isaiah 66, we saw that a few weeks ago where he says, when I was talking about rest, for instance, when he says, where is my resting place? Remember that conversation? Where do you think God's resting place ought to be? Or... Okay, where is God's resting place? We've done a very summative explanation to that. Right? That's why Hebrews will tell you we've entered into his rest. Right? That's about... So the rest of God is about man. So if God's rest is about man, it means that when you say God has come into his rest or man has come into God's rest, you're saying almost the same thing. Where did that happen? In a different planet on earth? So, where is heaven? In the sky or amongst men? Where is hell? Look at Hebrews 2:14. So God's best is man. Don't think I'm going to Hebrews 2 to answer that question. God's best is man. So it means that God, despite of man's imperfection, will still use man. Are you here? I'll say that again. God, in spite of man's frailty or man's imperfection, he can only still use man. Did you get that? So God will always still use man despite their imperfection. How do you look at Hebrews 2? You're in Hebrews 2, right? Look at verse 14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of what? Flesh and blood. Is that being human? He also himself likewise took part of what? Is that being human? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. So how did God destroy him that had power of death? As a man or as a spirit? As a man. Are we together? So he destroyed him as a man. Are we together? That is the devil. And delivered them who fear of death were of their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of what? angels, but he took on him the seed of what? Abraham. So God as a man used that man, or God used himself as a man to defeat the devil. Right? So what was man thinking? Man was thinking that God will use his supernatural medium to defeat the devil. That's why in Luke 24, you said, we are taught, and 30, it says, we are taught he will be the one to redeem Israel back. So, in the foolishness of a woman giving birth to God as a man, they lost God's plan from time. Did you get that? So, it means that as believers, you will not always look for what you ought to have in the spectacular. It means that a lot of times when you look for the spectacular, you might miss out on the supernatural. It means that the supernatural will not always be spectacular. Are we here? It means that the supernatural, because that is one of the beginning to the most supernatural event on the earth. That's the beginning, the incarnation. So God used a man to deal with the devil as a man. So he dealt with death as a man. How did he deal with death? By submitting himself to death. And in that, he was winning the victory. So when man would have thought they were killing the devil, they were killing Jesus, he was winning. Hey, are you here? He was on a progressive journey to the victory. So when they thought they were dealing with Jesus, hey, they stabbed him, they slapped him, they flogged him 39 times, whatever time they flogged him. They said, yes, we are showing him. But in they are showing him, Bible will tell you that it is the wisdom of God. It is the wisdom of God. It is the wisdom of God. It is God's wisdom. As a what? As a man. So God redeemed you as a man. Or let me say it this way. God did the work of redemption as a man for you to be redeemed. Are we together? Are we together? So man might not always look supernatural or spectacular. Man might always look natural, or we usually look natural, but in the earth, hear this carefully. Man is the most supernatural being on this earth. That's why you hear the question, what is man rather? That you're mindful of. Are we together? So man is God's method. Say, I'm God's method on the earth. Say it again. Say, I'm God's method on the earth. So you are not an ordinary person. Are we together? You are not an ordinary person. Praise God. So, when you now see the conversation of, like I said on Sunday, you know, look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I just go there so I don't have to quote it. Matthew's Gospel 18. Excuse me. Praise God! Praise God! Oh, glory to God. See what I'm about to read right now. Look at Matthew's Gospel 18:18. It says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you what? Bind on where? On earth shall be. Shall be. Hold on. Let's assume that your knowledge about that is correct. And I want to assume that your knowledge about that is correct is that is about casting out demons. But wait, is that not what you use that scripture for? For the Bible tells me, yes, 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 yes. And Jesus manifested, say, whatever I bound. But listen to this carefully. If heaven, okay, let me first ask you, that heaven, there is a land where dead people go to. Hey, GP. Oh, you answer genuinely now. That land there. So let me ask you. So if you assume it is where dead people go to, it is that whatever you bound on earth, where living people are, must be bound where the dead people are. You see, it did not flow. Abby? Are we together? So, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you what? You lose on earth. Let me help you a little. The conversation of binding and losing is a conversation regarding forgiveness of sins. Are we together? That statement is really just talking about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. What is God's will in heaven? For man to receive forgiveness of sins. You know that song? When we bind and loose, we proclaim your truth. What is the truth? The truth is about the forgiveness of sin that is supplied, which is the kingdom of the heaven, of heaven, which is God's will being done on earth amidst men. So when you say, "Very, verily, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall bind in heaven, yeah, whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on what? On earth, as touching what? Anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." He says, "For where two or three are what? Gathered in my name, is that upon account of my work? Is that in account, on account of my work? Is that based on what I have done? Gathered in my name, is that my reputation? Is that my function?" We did name of Jesus series, right? My function, my reputation, right? There I am in their midst. So when we come together, heaven is here. When we come together, we know that heaven is here. We'll look at a few things shortly. When we come together, we know that the supernatural is here. Say the supernatural is here. Supernatural. Say the supernatural is here. Supernatural. How is the supernatural here? Because there has been a union between heaven and earth when we come together. So we are men who have come into God's new Jerusalem. That's why you see the conversation called Heavenly Jerusalem. Are we together? Jerusalem will point your attention to a place on earth, while heavenly will point your attention to a place which is supernatural and spiritual. So heavenly Jerusalem will speak about a supernatural combination of men of the earth. Are you here? Are you here? So he says, when two or three shall gather, I am there in their midst. Are those two or three that are gathered, are they people who have gone past the binding and losing? What I mean is, they've received forgiveness of sins. Are we together? So, can we say God is here? Say God is here. Say God is here. No, you're not saying like you know. Say God is here. Say God is here. Say the supernatural is here. So it means we can have supernatural encounters when we come together. So it means that whilst our garden looks physical, by wearing physical clothes, physical shoes, physical things, there is something supernatural about our gathering. It means there is something extraordinary to this brother that is sitting down here. It means there is something supernatural about this sister sitting down here. So, can we say we have a supernatural sister and an extraordinary brother that have come together and things can happen? Are you here? Are you here? So, the Bible tells you, it says that when you, whenever two or three are gathered, what is that teaching? The coming together of those who have received what? Forgiveness of sins. Praise God. I hope you're learning something. So, it means that we need to learn to walk in supernatural recognition where we come together. That's the point to note. I'll say it one more time. We need to deliberately learn how to walk in supernatural recognition when we come together. We need to deliberately learn how to walk in supernatural recognition when we come together. So, when you see a fellow believer around you, you first think of the believer as supernatural before what? Natural. Are you here? You first think of the supernatural before natural. So, it means that you will first consider your supernatural relationship with that believer before your physical relationship. Mind you, you must never always look for the spectacular. Praise God. You know, one of the reasons why we use bouncers for weddings, are we here? is because people recognize it's spectacular. Sila. All you need do for your wedding, you don't want several people to come, is put a few spectacular people at the door. You know, I went for I think it was Pastor Phil's wedding or something. I can't remember where I went to, you know. And I saw a few people, they were standing from afar. Eh? Those guys, they heavy. So I think they were looking for how to get a table. You know, some people, it's not their wedding, but they will sit on the table as if they are the ones that gave the bride and the groom, they sponsored the wedding. You know, my dad used to be like that. So he and his clique of friends, you know, anytime it started like this, they just iron their ghetto agada. I'm looking for wedding around. And when they start the wedding, they will sit down at the father of the bride. And they're looking for food, though. They don't have money. But nowadays, it's easier to put spectacular beans. Now, mind you, is it possible to put a spectacular bean that is a soldier but will not look spectacular, but it can shock you? That's why you say he shock you. You know, in NYC camp, if you school in Abuja, there's this guy called Mosquito. You know Mosquito? Oh, you know him? He's where in Abuja camp? Oh, Mosquito. Mosquito is unassuming. And if you see Mosquito, that's his name. If you see Mosquito without his uniform, you will almost want to slap him. After all, that's all you do to mosquitoes. But if you put one mosquito at the door of your wedding, they've disabused your mind from the spectacular. But there's something supernatural. You know, it is not the uniform that makes mosquitoes strong. I heard the guy has gone for war and killed people in their numbers. What am I saying this for? If you always want to look for the spectacular, you will get shocked. Because God's wisdom is not man's wisdom. Are we together? That's why you see some people, when you lay hands on them, for instance, they feel like if they don't jump and fly back, they've not received. Are we together? Can the power of God rest on you and you will fly? You better believe it, though. You better believe it, though. But you can teach that concept. I told you on Sunday from John 18:6. They came to look for Jesus, and Bible, they asked him, "Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus?" The Bible says, "I am he." Bible says all of them flew back. I'm not quoting the book of Nicodemus. It's John 18. But there is a way people begin to feel like if they go for a meeting and people don't brew. We've not started. You know, everybody has their level. He's just giving to doctrine. You know, if I'm teaching God's word and switch the supernatural, and a timely disease will be healed, or a deadly disease will be healed. Are we together? Why am I saying this? Even the greatest, most supernatural event of the earth, of the universe, the first one that started with the birth, men did not recognize it. So it means you can sleep on the same bed with your wife who can heal you of cancer and you will not recognize it. Are we together? You know, if you are a believer, let me say this in passing before we'll get there. If you are a believer, you cannot receive from God or receive of God from your brother, your sister, your cousin, be it your cousin, brother, cousin, sister, or your wife or your husband, or your child that is a believer, then there's a lot you need to check about your mind. Why? Because God's plan and God's method will always be man. And we'll look at it shortly. God's method will always be man. That's why a man can ask you to bring spit and mix it and throw it to your mouth, and a dumb man will begin to talk. Jesus did it, right? Imagine if that guy that was there was saying, "Ah, spatum." You know what spatum is? That is the medical form for saliva. Hey, spatum. How can you put spatum in your mouth? You too, you put your mouth, you put spatum. The guy says, "Thank God I can talk." But did he get healed? Was that something supernatural? Spectacular, but in the opposite direction? Are we together? Learn to recognize supernatural people around you. Every believer on earth is supernatural. Are we here? Every believer on earth is supernatural. Praise God. Praise God. Remember I said on Sunday, Jesus was a man, born as a man, and I told you that Jesus went to toilet. I told you that they fed Jesus. You know, Jesus was not someone who, when they just gave birth, he just says, "Thus says the Lord, milk, milk, milk." Jesus would have cried. In case you don't want to see that Jesus cried as a baby, he cried as a big man. John 11, 35. Jesus what? There's no figure of speech there. In case you don't want to see it again, Hebrews 2 tells you, right? He cried with strong crying and what? Tears. So he was a man. Now, can we say Jesus was a man that had human feelings? He had. Could you believe that Jesus would have been looked down upon? But in the looking down upon Jesus by people, that was the supernatural being made manifested. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, learn to recognize supernatural relationships. Praise God. So, it means my hands are not normal. It means your hands are not ordinary. Are you happy there? Right? It means that your body is a vessel. Say, my hands are not ordinary. Say, my body is not ordinary. Say, my hands are not ordinary. Say, my body is not ordinary. So what looks like normal is God's strategy on the earth. Are we together? Are we together? Say, God is walking through me. Say, God is walking through my hands. Say, I'm God's method on the earth. So, the ministry of laying on of hands is a ministry to show that our bodies are transmitters of God's power. I'll say that again. The ministry of the laying on of hands is a ministry to demonstrate and to show us that our bodies are transmitters of God's power, God's spirit in the earth. Our bodies are transmitters of God's power, God's spirit in the earth. Our bodies are transmitters of God's power, God's spirit in the earth. I'm not an ordinary man. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at a few things across scriptures that the laying on of hands were able to achieve. Are you with me? Let's quickly go to Luke 4, verse 40. Luke 4:40. Please run with me quickly. Let's try to cover a few grounds this evening before we go. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Are you there? Luke 4:40. Are you there? Luke 4:40. Are you there? If you are there, say, "I'm there." Okay, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases, they brought them unto who? Jesus. And he did what? He laid his hands on every one of them, and he what? He healed them all. So it means that Jesus laying his hands up on all of them means that something happens when hands are laid. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus knew that something happens when hands are laid, and that is why he laid hands? He knew. So he knew there was something about touch. And he touched. And he healed them all. Look at Mark 6. Mark 6:3. So there is something, let me say this way, that you can have an ordinary touch and a supernatural touch.
You can have an ordinary touch and a supernatural touch. Let me give you an instance. After church, when I go around and greet people, for instance, can I shake you ordinarily? Can you shake me ordinarily? Can I actively shake you and something will happen? Can I not want to actively shake you and you want to actively shake me and something will happen to you? You understand that? So it means things can happen through touch. So it means that I can come and meet you and greet you innocently and you greet me with a plan in mind and something will happen to you. Are we here? Jesus knew that there is something about touch. That is why you see, the Bible says he laid hands on them all and he healed them all. So it means that God's power can be communicated through by the laying on of hands. Are we here? Look at Mark 6. Are you in Mark 6? Mark 6, 3. See what it says there. It says, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon? And are not his brothers and sisters here with us? And they were what? Offended at him. So that's those are people offended by Jesus. That is based on familiarity. What did Jesus say unto them in verse 4? A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. So what do you expect is fundamental in receiving from a touch? Honor. Are we here? So, but listen to what Jesus does here, or did here. He says, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. Let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he could dare do no more mighty work. Save. The word there, save, is what? Except. Beautiful. So let's read it with that word. 1, 2, 3, go. And he could dare do no mighty work except that he. So whilst people were walking in dishonor, Jesus still knew there was something about the laying on of hands. Are you here? See, the immediate thing he said before he laid hands was that a prophet is not honored in his town. Mark now lets you see that he laid hands upon a what? A few sick folks, and he healed them, and he marveled. So, he marveled because of their what? Now, he marveled because of their unbelief. So, it means that in the midst of unbelief, now, when Jesus got to his people, what did he see chief? What did he see primarily? A people of what? Unbelief. Did Jesus, because he saw unbelief and lack of honor, decide not to communicate things to them? You see? That is where the Bible doctrine of what love work is will come in. Are we together? You should not offend me as a pastor, for instance, and because I'm in bitterness and strife towards you, be a problem in your receiving from me. Did you hear that? Is honor important? Did Jesus expect his people to have honor for him? Did they have honor for him? Did he heal the sick? So, the few folks that still gave, now, listen to where honor comes in. Honor allowed the heart of the few people who still came close to him to submit themselves to the touch. Walking in strife is never a good godly option. Did you hear that? Despite and in spite of what man does to you, walking in strife can never be a solution. Because Jesus could have condemned his entire community because of the height of unbelief he saw. Let it be that people don't receive from you because of their unbelief, not because you are striving with them. Did you get that? So is it safe to walk in honor? Is it safe to walk in honor? Is it safe to walk in dishonor? It can never be. It can never be. Praise God. How together? So Jesus still resorted, right? Jesus resorted to laying on of hands in the midst of thick unbelief. It means that things can happen in the midst of deep. So it means that you can see somebody, listen to me carefully. Can you see somebody on the sick bed who believes she's going to die tomorrow and doesn't have faith, and you lay hands and the person comes back to life? You can. So Jesus, in the midst of thick unbelief, still resorted to what? The laying on of hands. Say, my hands are supernatural. Say, my hands are powerful. Say, my hands are supernatural. Are we together? So, there was nothing spectacular about Jesus' appearance when he appeared to them. And that's why they dishonored him. Imagine if Jesus had gone back to his home and he went with 3 Rolls Royce. And all the 3 Rolls Royce were for his escort. Wow, we knew he would do well. We saw the oil. How do we know people who have oil today now? That's why you see, people look for people with so-called results before they feel hands can be laid on them. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Can you have 5 jets and still need hands to be laid on you by your pastor who doesn't have a car? Yes, so. Yes, so. Can something supernatural happen to you from a man who treks to his local church whilst you have your estate all around Nigeria? Yes, so. It's God's method, though. It's God's wisdom. Whilst your mind is looking for the spectacular. Saints, can we have a church that is as small as this and we are raising the dead every single day? Can we also have a church that is as big as 5 million people and they cannot raise the dead? Can we also have a church of 5 million people that will raise the dead every day? Don't always look for the spectacular, because you might end up losing out on the supernatural. It means that when you are in a believer's meeting, for instance, and someone identifies you by word of knowledge, what do? You don't consider yourself as someone who, based on hierarchy in the local church, is higher than the person. Are we together? You don't try to put yourself in a position that you don't see that the person who, that a believer can, now, can a believer minister to a pastor? Can a believer minister to a pastor? I hope you know yes is the answer. You also know a pastor can put himself in a place where he will not minister to by believers. To a large extent, it means that there needs to be a supernatural recognition that a pastor ought to have regarding other believers and fellow believers around him. Say, I don't despise believers like me. Hallelujah. So, in Mark 6, you see that in the middle of their unbelief, a thought walks. Right, he talked to them, he laid hands on them. Those who came, they came and he laid hands on them. That's why one of the reasons, look at Romans 1, that's one of the reasons why you can't afford to not be a member of a local church that meets physically. You can't afford to relegate spiritual gatherings or replace spiritual gatherings. While there might be some temporary options and temporary things that can be done while certain things happen, for instance during the COVID period, the meeting of saints is something that ought not to be replaced. Look at Romans 1. Are you Romans 1:10? Romans 1:10. Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey. That's similar to the word used in John 3. Now above all things, I wish that you may what? Prosper and be in what? Health, even as a soul prospereth, and we use it for prosperity. It has the same word, it's a word used for journey, and it's talking about spiritual journey, you know, in the book of John there. So he says, have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Let's read verse 11 together. Verse 11, Romans 1, 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some, to the end that ye may be what? So it means that there are some things that will not be imparted without physical contact. Paul knew that now. Abby, what did he say? Now, see, where were they reading that they needed? Where were they reading that they needed to? He wanted to see them. In a letter he wrote to them. So it means you can listen to messages on your website. It means you can read the books of a pastor. But there are some things that will not be communicated through the books. Paul knew that, right? He knew that. He said, I look forward to what? Seeing you so that I might what? Impart certain things to you. He calls them what? Spiritual gifts. To the end that you may be established. See, there's something about touch. Can you heal over the phone? Can you raise the dead over the phone? Is that all there is to the spirit, scriptural spiritual faith or to the faith? Is that all there is? Can you get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost through the phone? Can you lay hands on somebody through the phone? Just say, what phone are you using? iPhone 7. What phone are you using? Go and quickly buy iPhone 8. Let our phone be the same. Open your iPad. What number do you see? Talk 0. When I'm touching 0, talk 0. So that what we communicate God's power. No. So there's such a thing as physical meeting for certain impartations to be done, for certain things to be established. Are we here? So never in God's will or never in God's plan will online church be the remedy or the solution or a replacement to God's method. Did you get that? Can we pray online? Yes, we can. Can we do Bible study online? Yes, we can. But there is a place for the gathering. Are we together? Paul will write a letter to them and say, and in that letter, he wrote that in verse, first 11 chapters. I know Romans is one of Paul's most delicate books. Yet, in his first chapter, he makes sure to emphasize that despite what you read in this book, I look forward to seeing you face to face so I can impart certain things into your life, spiritual gifts, so that you might, to the end, that you might what? Be established. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So when you are coming to church, you are coming to always put at the front of, at the forefront of your mind that you are coming to a supernatural gathering. Amen? You are coming to a supernatural gathering. You are coming to a supernatural gathering. Are we together? So hands can be used hands can be used for healing the sick, rather. Are we here? Hands can be used for impartation to the end that a believer is established. Romans 1. Look at Mark 7 again. Mark 7:32.
Ah! Praise God.
Say, my body is a transmitter of God's power. Say, my body is a transmitter of God's spirit. Say, my body is a transmitter of God's power. Say, in my body, I have the ability of the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm no ordinary man. Say, I'm not an ordinary man. I'm a supernatural being. Say, God wants to walk through me, and God will walk through me. Say, God wants to use my hands, and He will use my hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I'm not ordinary. 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 You are not ordinary. You are not. 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 You see, never shy away from laying hands on people. Are we together? Now, I hope you know, you don't have to lay hands on someone's head before you lay hands on the person. Right? You shouldn't leave this series with the mindset, Pastor, I said, I'm not ordinary. Start going to everybody here. You don't even know if this person is a pastor or a GO. Bring it. I say, bend it down. You are not, when the person does not recognize, you say, don't recognize spiritual touch. Or you don't recognize, you are not working in spiritual recognition. No. I can touch you like this, and things will happen. In fact, most of the healings I've seen in my ministry by laying on of hands were not laying on of hands on the head. 95% were not. 95% of the healings I've experienced in my ministry by laying on of hands were not on their heads. That means a touch will not only be supernatural because it's in contact with your head. Are you here? A touch will not only be supernatural because the hands or a hand is in contact with your head. Look at Mark 7. Is that where you are? And they brought somebody unto him in verse 32 that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. That means he had dumb. Can I say deaf and dumb? Partially deaf, partially dumb, rather. And he was what? Deaf. Are you there? Mark 7:32. And they besieged him to put his hand. That means they knew that if he put his hand upon him, something will happen. Are you here? The Bible says they besieged him that he put his hand on him. Look at what it now says in verse 33. 1, 2, 3, go. And he took him aside. Are you there? Mark 7:33, 1, 2, 3, go. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ear. Is that a touch? Is that laying on of hands? Put his finger into his ears, and he what? Spat or spit. And he did what? He touched his what? Tongue. Where did he spit into? Where did he spit into? What is spit there? Figure of speech for liquid? Figure of speech for liquid, that means spit saliva. You can see, let me use that and see, I start my message today. This is spit saliva. Imagine that man was saying spit saliva. God's method will always be God's method. I hope you know. And you know, the man that wants to minister God's power can choose how he wants God's power to flow. Are we together? You know, this is a teaching of Pastor Egun recently. I was talking about how in the 90s or thereabouts, he went to the streets, for instance, where there was one man that was... And what he did? He opened the guy's mouth and spat inside the mouth. He started talking. He just got normal. So we are saying, heal. Heal, heal, heal. Oh, what's this? I didn't know that method. That's so dirty. May you not be in a position... May not be in a position where anything will work. It's the way you need speed. See, you know when you are desperate, anything will go for you. Why do you think churches that practice very ridiculous things have so many people? The pastors who spray big gun in the eyes of their members. Wait, can I choose to communicate God's power to you through big on in your eyes? That's the truth. It's because you know better now. Because you know better now. I will take you to places where when you see some practices, you will give praise to God for ministry gifts. And people that are practicing are people's ministry gifts. Selah. When that guy sang plenty things, she was talking to Sister Esther. Things are happening. You can't dictate how you receive from God. Are we together? Right? So the Bible tells you that he spat into him, he touched him, and looking up into the heavens, he sighed, and he said unto him, Ephrata! And this means what? Be opened. And straight away his ears were what? Opened. Deaf ears unstopped. Hallelujah. From spit. And the strings of his tongues were loosed, and he spake what? Plain. And he said what? Tell no man. Say my touch is God's touch. Say my touch is God's touch. You know, you can communicate God's power through handkerchief. You know you can communicate God's power through shadows. Bible tells you in Acts, we'll get there. They arranged the people who were sick for Peter to walk past, and the shadow was falling on them, and they were rising up. Are we together? You can communicate God's power with a cloth. That is why, dear saints, when you see people holding on to all this anointing or goya oil, don't always insult them. Because you can get healed from anointing oil. I hope you know. I hope you know you can get healed from red oil. You are laughing because you know better. You can get healed from Maggi. Pastor gave an example recently. I think it was a Christ coming. He was talking about how there was someone who was sick in the UK, and one of his relatives was going to the UK. One of his relatives was here, and the person brought an handkerchief for pastor to lay hands on it, right? And he laid hands on it, and the person collected it for me and wrapped it and sent it through DHL to the sick person in London. As soon as the person got the envelope and opened it, the person got healed. Now, how many hands touched that handkerchief? The relative in Nigeria, DHL office, receptionist in Abuja,
I've been in Lagos. The DHL office will give to the messenger on his bike. I enter traffic. You see, the power of God can be in traffic. But God's power is still there. Are we together? Are we together? And the DHL messenger takes you to their depot at the airport. From the man at depot at the airport, gives you to the band that will fly. From there to London, post office, from post office, an average of 7 to 10 hands. Yet, the man who knew what that was about, he saw it and he touched it and he got healed. You see, don't mock the supernatural because you've not experienced it. Are you here? It's easy to mock the supernatural. Don't mock the supernatural because there's a way you mock supernatural to the point that you close your heart to receiving from God. Don't allow the fact that there are so many fakes make you discredit the fact that there is God's real power. It's easy. That's why you can't afford to join me and say all these pastors, they are fake. All these pastors, they are fake. All people from your village are like you. Don't try it. Don't try it. That's why, really, you ought not to do a post on people who are doing NNSPPDD. What do you call their names? NNSPPDD, you know? What God cannot do does not exist. Cannot exist. See, that you know better. You know miracles happen there. I've never paid attention to this issue. I'm joining it every morning. Beautiful. But I will not, because I know sound doctrine, for instance, now do a long thread. Because we are the same people who say with God nothing is impossible. Are we together? With God nothing is impossible. Is that not what God cannot do? He's in back door. Is he not back door, Sister Oyin? It is now. Why am I saying this? If you like, go and say, Pastor, say all of us should go and be joining 7 a.m. every morning, go and join 7 a.m. What are they doing? Why am I saying this? Don't mock the supernatural for any reason. Don't mock it. Don't try it. Don't try it. Don't try it. Why? Because a believer, despite his ignorance in doctrine, can still communicate God's power. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You know, people who you recognize as the most spiritually used healing ministers might not know what you know. I don't know what you know. But don't the fact that they are not using diabolical powers, and this is the same power of God that used to heal people in their hundreds and thousands. Are we together? Never in your life look down on the supernatural. When I mean don't look at supernatural, it means don't look at on a believer as well, because the believer is part of the supernatural clan. Never in your life. Because one day you will be in need of a miracle. And because you've programmed your mind to an aspect, you will not be able to receive. Are we together? There are people who have been barren that have gotten their womb restored from drinking a full bottle of Goya oil. Are we here? Are we here? Now, am I saying you have to be ridiculous in the practices you want to practice? Some of you now can be hearing me. I was supposed to say it depends on the believer that has the power. I can choose how God's power wants to communicate. Everywhere you're not going to be asking them to drink 5 liters of red oil because you don't have to choose how they want to communicate God's power. That's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you can get healed of sicknesses by words, right? You can get healed of sicknesses by shadow. Get healed of sicknesses by laying of hands. But never ever think that there is nothing called. You know, some of us will read the Bible upside down. What do I mean? Because the pastor that taught you now, you have the Spirit of God, you have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. I have it. You rejoice with all of us. You come back, you come back. No, what? There's nothing, Pastor. Pastor, if you lay hands on me, I'll lay hands back on you. You are beginning to. You are going to go. You are heading towards your expressway. You are heading towards Kefi gradually. You are just going towards Nasarawa in the real sense. We'll look at that on Sunday. The fact that we are all believers, we will not always all operate in the same office. and we will never always have the same function. Did you hear that? It's God's plan. It's God's method. You know, you can be sick and heal a man that is dying on the hospital bed. We'll look at that on Sunday. You know you can. You know you can. There was a day in the UK, I was having a serious, I think it was a back pain into my, I don't know what really happened to me. You know, but there was a guy who was really sick. And the last breath he had was what he used to speak to someone that they should call ambulance. Are you with me? And he said, and he just said, call ambulance. So some people around him started holding him and everything. And I walked up. I wasn't feeling okay. And I just touched him on his shoulder. And he got healed instantly. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I still had my own infirmity. God's method will always be men. That is why, let me say this carefully to us as a church. When you start getting close to your leaders, a man might not always be perfect in the flesh, but man that is not perfect in the flesh is still God's method. This is not saying go and live any life, I'm God's method. You live a wayward life, you say, I'm still God's method. When you start getting close to your leaders, to your pastors, be careful the extent of the things, because there's a way you will find out, oh, after all, we are all, really truly, we are all men. And what happens? You now put your heart in a place where you can't receive from God's method. Bible tells you in 2 Kings, Elijah's dead bone rose a man back to life. Dead bone. Your dead bone rose a man back to life. You see, man is God, is the custodian of God's power on earth. Did you hear that? That's important to note. Man is the custodian of God's power on the earth. Man will always be the custodian of God's power on the earth. Man will give direction to God's power. Man can give direction to God's power. Man houses God's power by receiving the Holy Ghost. I'll close here. So we'll look on Sunday and see that in the real sense, man will always be God's method, regardless of the frailty or the imperfection of men. And the laying of hands is a ministry that we have received of in the resurrection. So Mark 16 tells you, and they shall what? Lay hands on the what? Sick. And they shall what? Recover. Hallelujah. Say, I'm God's plan on the earth. Say, I'm in God's plan on the earth. Say, I'm a custodian of God's power. Say, I have supernatural abilities. Let's rise up. Say, I have supernatural abilities. Say, I'm born of God. Say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. Say, I'm full of power. Say, there's no doubt in me. Say, I recognize supernatural relationships. Say, I recognize supernatural relationships. Say, I don't treat believers as ordinary people. Say, I don't treat believers as ordinary people. Say, my heart receives from all of God's vessel. Say, my heart receives from all of God's vessel. Say, I don't submit myself to the teachings of this world, not to recognize God's men. Say, I recognize God's men. I recognize God's men. I recognize God's ability, and I flow in same. Hallelujah. Praise God. Never joke with the supernatural man that is beside you. Look at the band, hold his hand or her hand and say, you are a supernatural being. Say, feast on that. Just look for somebody around you. Just say, you are a supernatural being. Say, you are a supernatural being. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're a supernatural being. Say, feast on that. Say, feast on that.